nurses, welcome to the Nurse Stop Podcast, where we're giving nurses validation, resources, and hope one episode at a time. I'm Kara Lunsford.
And I am Josel James.
And you're listening to the Nurse Stop Podcast. This is our very first, okay, first of all, it's our first in-person.
First in-person.
Okay, we did another podcast. We've done actually a couple together, which was a lot of fun. So we're going to be co-hosting a couple of podcasts.
Co-hosting a couple.
Yes, six episodes.
Yes, I'm excited. I'm excited to be here. Thank you, Kara.
Okay, well, you have to introduce yourself because some people may not know who you are.
Okay.
So go ahead and introduce yourself.
Introduce myself?
Yeah, right introduce now? Yourself right okay. now to the audience.
Okay. Hi, everybody. Hi, nurse.com. My name is Josel. I'm so excited to be here. I'm a nurse. I'm a speaker and entrepreneur and content creator. And I used to be an ER nurse. And now I talk about being an ER nurse.
You're not actually doing it.
I'm not an ER nurse
anymore. That's okay. You don't have to. I mean, sometimes you have so much. You just get enough under your belt that you've got like a lot of content.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, content, but I've been a nurse for 10 years. I've been a content creator for like 8 years. And I'm so happy to be here. I'm excited to talk about nursing, talk about whatever we want to talk
about. You're funny.
You think I'm funny?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
My therapist said I need more external validation. So thank you.
What? Oh, you like meaning like you need to have people like me say you're funny?
Yeah, no.
Oh.
It was a joke.
I love
it. I'm glad you got it.
I'm like, wait, what does that mean? You need more external value. You are very funny and handsome.
Thank you. Oh my God. Thank you. I needed that. I needed that today. Wow.
You're
so
looking
great.
Good. Your hair looks good.
Thank you. I just cut it. Just got a haircut.
I love it.
Cool. Well,
okay.
That's me. And my hair.
Okay, so we are going to talk today about healthcare in the media.
Healthcare portrayal in the media.
And very specifically, we've identified a couple of series that we're both watching.
Yeah, we both watch, yeah. And they're trending right now.
And they're trending.
Yeah.
So I don't know how many of our listeners have been watching The Pitt, but I'm imagining that a lot of them are.
Yeah, I think a lot of people now are watching The Pitt.
Yeah.
It's huge. It's everywhere.
From what I see. Honestly, it was... So when I watched the first season, because now there's the second season is out.
Yeah.
When I watched the first season of The Pitt, the first two episodes, or I think it was like the first two episodes, I was thinking, oh my gosh, I'm not sure that I can watch this. This is a little close to home.
Yeah. Oh, super close to home. Can you tell people what The Pitt is about first? Should we talk about that first?
Yeah. I mean, we can definitely talk about... Wait, do you want to talk about it?
Give me that log.
Do you want to say what it's about?
The Pitt is short for the Pittsburgh Hospital in Pennsylvania, right? I don't know if it's a real hospital, but it's like that one show, 24.
I don't even know that show.
You don't know 24? So 24 was a very popular show because every hour... was an episode.
Oh, okay. Actually, right? I do. This is old.
That's an old show.
Okay. Yes.
So
yes. I do
it took
remember
that
this.
Concept and put that hour in the hospital setting, in a trauma center, level one, I'm assuming, that every hour in real life is an actual hour in the episode. So 24 did that first.
Right. Yes. And so this is like 12 episodes or 13 if...
I think
last time was 13 because they went into overtime. Remember, they went into like an hour or more of overtime.
Yes.
But it's 1 hour. So like it'll say from 7 to 8 in the morning.
Yep.
8 to 9 in the morning.
Yep.
And it's amazing how they directed it. I think it's one of the best medical dramas that's ever been made.
Best medical drama. Absolutely. I can't think of a better one.
Yeah.
Because it's so accurate. It's so accurate. And it's like, there's so many times I was watching the show, I'm like, that's exactly how it is. That is exactly how it goes down in the ER. It's like what you said. It's like, do I want to keep watching this? Because it just feels like I'm watching like my work, being at work.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I know. I imagine that if you were actively working in a hospital or in an emergency room and then came home and watched The Pit,
yeah,
it would just be more like, it would feel like more work.
Yeah.
It's a little stressful.
It's hella stressful. It's hella stressful watching it. They found a way to keep, because sometimes in the ER, I'm on fight or flight the whole time. And they somehow were able to convey that feeling of, you know, being on edge from the beginning of the episode to the end of the episode. They were able to capture that. So props to the writers on The Pit. I don't know how they did that.
Yeah. And also, I feel like when I'm watching it, I feel a sense of validation.
Validation?
Yeah. I feel like someone's validating me. Like, oh my gosh, someone took the time to really dig in and understand what is happening within the health systems,
for sure.
What's happening on the day to day from the minute to minute.
Yeah.
And it feels like, oh, someone took the time to really understand and know what's happening in healthcare.
It feels real. Do we want that though? You think we want that?
I think it's a little bittersweet.
Do we want real in the media? Because when we're watching TV, sometimes we want an escape, right? And it's like you said, it's a little too close to home.
Yes.
But on the other end, people always complain, like the other shows, it's like, oh, that's not how, like Grey's Anatomy, like that's not how it really is. But
I don't think I really enjoyed watching, if I was going to watch something, I wasn't usually going to watch a medical drama.
Yeah. I think it's because we're in healthcare.
Yes.
You think it's because we're in healthcare?
And because oftentimes it was not, it didn't feel real, and I was sitting there poking holes in it, and I'm going, ah, that would never happen, or no one would ever say that. Yeah. So I didn't really enjoy watching a lot of medical dramas.
Right.
Now I feel like I have to be in the right mindset to watch The Pit.
Yeah.
But
I'm scared to watch it.
Yeah, but when I do watch it, I at least feel like they took the time to really get this right.
Yeah, there's definitely...
So I have like respect for it.
They put a lot of research into it, for sure, to make it as realistic as possible.
Yeah, so that's the validation part that I'm talking about.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Because you feel seen as a healthcare worker.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if we go back really quickly, because you and I were looking up some different episodes, we were looking up what some other influencers were talking about. We looked at Dr. Mike. Dr. Mike did a review of an episode. I think it was season 2, episode 4. And I thought that one was really interesting that he reviewed that one, because it was something that I thought about too.
Yeah.
Because in that episode, there is a deaf patient. Uh-huh. And so they are exploring in that episode. I mean, she's a part of the episode. She's not the full episode, but they really start to identify and shine a light on how it is for people who come into a health system and don't speak English, or they have a disability.
Yeah.
And in this situation, she does not obviously have the ability to speak. She's not speaking English.
Yeah.
And she was at the mercy of having to wait for interpreters to come. And when they were trying to use the video relay system, because that's a system that they use in the hospitals, is like video relay.
Yeah.
It was like shorting out. And so they were having trouble even using like a video interpreter.
Yeah, for sure. That happens. That's a real life. Probably every shift, every nurse who uses a translator goes through that, where the technology used to do something as basic as communicate or talk to the patient is not working.
Right, right. Have you ever had a deaf person in your ER? Have you ever had that experience?
Yeah, all the time. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So not everybody knows this about me, but before I was a nurse, I was a sign language interpreter.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Sign language interpreter.
I was.
Before you were a nurse?
Before I was a nurse. Okay. I went to school at a place called Venice Skill Center, and I did like 1,200 hours of training. And then I went in and I became an interpreter in the college, like university setting.
Yeah.
And when I worked at Cal State Northridge, I interpreted the biology of cancer class 2 semesters in a row.
The whole class?
Yeah, yeah.
For your...
I mean, I interpreted it. Oh. Like, after I was an interpreter, there was a deaf student who was taking that class. Oh. And so I interpreted that class for the full semester.
Oh, my God.
Two semesters in a row.
That's so cool.
With Dr. Oppenheimer. Yeah.
The Dr. Oppenheimer?
The
no
doc-
way.
The Dr. Oppenheimer. You're
blowing my mind today. The Dr. Oppenheimer?
Not the Dr. Oppenheimer.
Oh, my God.
But, you know, that's pretty funny. No, I mean, his name was Dr. Oppenheimer.
Oh, it was Dr. Oppenheimer.
It was, oh, okay, but I don't think he was, like, the Dr. Oppenheimer.
Oh, you think they were related?
I mean, maybe.
So you interpreted two classes in a row.
Two semesters.
Two molecular biology?
No, it was the biology of cancer.
So you probably learned a lot about the biology of cancer.
I did. I learned a lot. And actually, that was what made me want to go in and become a nurse.
Really?
Yes.
That's your story.
That's my story. That's like, I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to do nursing.
Yeah.
And so then I ended up going to nursing school. But all that to be said is that I really connected with this episode because I was watching, it was so painful to watch because I could see how frustrated the patient was in the episode. I believe that they used a deaf actress.
Yeah.
They
did.
I think so. Yeah. No, I'm pretty sure they did. I think because they're so realistic. I can't imagine that they would have someone come and be, I don't know. Yes. I'm going to like say 99% that she was actually deaf. Yeah.
It's hard to say nowadays because sometimes, you know, there is a thing where like, oh, you need to be a certain demographic to act a certain demographic. Right?
Yeah. And it is like that in the deaf community. Like right? You don't want to really have someone portray a deaf person.
Yeah.
It's like appropriation a little bit. It's like disability appropriation.
Yeah, it's wild.
Yeah. I don't think that's really a word, disability appropriation, but it's like cultural appropriation.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah. So, okay. So when we were watching that one, you know, she is definitely frustrated. One of the things that Dr. Mike brought up, which I thought was really interesting, and it was a problem that I used to have a lot when I was an interpreter, was that people always wanted to talk to me instead of talking to the patient. You know, the doctor speaking directly to the patient.
Yeah.
The doctor wanted to speak directly to the interpreter. Yeah. Like, can you tell her this?
Yeah.
Tell her that I said this.
Yeah.
And we oftentimes as interpreters, we will remind people.
Yeah.
You can speak directly to the patient.
Yeah.
Or you can speak directly to the person.
Yeah. You still need to face the patient and talk to the patient as if you were speaking their same language.
Yes.
Eye contact, body language.
Yes.
Instead of saying, hey, do this, and then just becomes, and it makes the patient feel more heard too.
Yeah.
Because the patient already doesn't feel heard because of the language barrier.
Right.
Which is a basic, you know, we take for granted basic communication.
Yeah. I had something happen, you know, a long time ago where I was interpreting for a patient, and the doctor said, you know, don't tell them what the prognosis is. Don't tell them. Like, they were said to me, I'm telling you, but don't tell them. And I said,
no,
I cannot.
Way.
No. Yeah. I can. I was like, no, I cannot. That's not appropriate.
It was, like, was this in front of the patient?
Yes. And then when I was interpreting, I interpreted it exactly what the doctor was saying to me.
Yeah, that's what
exactly.
You're supposed to do,
yeah, and
like,
I
ethically.
And so of course, like, the person who was there to see the doctor was like, "Wait, what?
That?
What is it that you don't want to tell me?"
Yeah,
and then the doctor got angry at me and said, "I told you not to say anything." And then I interpreted exactly that.
Oh my
I said,
God, no
"I told
way.
You
this
not to say
to
anything."
You?
Yes, yes, yes. This
oh
actually
my God,
would
my
happen
body
a lot.
Is having like a
this happens a lot.
Response.
It's sad, but it happens a lot where it's like, "Don't tell them," but blah 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 blah, and then they say something, and I'm like, "No." I have to say, have to interpret every single thing you say, including what you just said, which is don't tell them.
I don't understand why that would even happen during a translation. That's
I know.
Wild.
I know. It's crazy. So anyway, that was definitely that was a cool thing to see on the pit.
Yeah, they got
to
that
see
real.
Reflected. They totally got that real. And then you were actually bringing up like a few other, like not the pit, but let's talk a little bit about like Nurse Jackie.
Uh-huh. Oh, Nurse Jackie.
Yeah.
I like that show. Nurse Jackie is, it's not running anymore, is it?
No, it's not running anymore.
Nurse Jackie is the drama on HBO or Showtime about the ER charge nurse, right?
Yeah.
ER charge nurse, and she's a total badass. But
Edie Falco.
Edie Falco?
Yeah, was the actress.
Oh, Edie?
Edie.
Edie Falco.
Edie
okay.
Falco. She used to be on The Sopranos.
Sopranos. I didn't watch
it. Yeah, she used to be on The Sopranos, and then she got cast as Nurse Jackie.
I heard Sopranos is good.
Yeah, it is.
But yeah, I remember seeing it for the first time, and I had worked in the ER, and I was like, man, this is kind of similar to work. Like the healthcare, they got that down, but Nurse Jackie has a drug problem. What was she on?
Well, she was definitely on prescription meds.
Oh, they weren't specific.
Well, I think she was on opioids, some sort of opioid. I don't remember. Percocet?
Yeah.
It was like Percocet or OxyContin.
Yeah, Oxy.
Like.
I think
maybe
it was
Oxy.
And then she was getting it from the pharmacist who she was sleeping with, right?
She was sleeping with the pharmacist.
Man.
And he was like her drug dealer.
Yeah. So I remember in school, we were searching up, you know, medical dramas. And that one came up, and nurses aren't portrayed in the media as much. But when we finally are, and we realistically, right, when we were finally put on the spotlight with a legitimate show and the healthcare pieces they were getting right, she has to be a drug addict.
I know. I was, you know.
What are your thoughts on that?
I was a little disappointed. Here's my thing. Like you just said, they've depicted doctors in the media for a really long time, whether it be in ER or Scrubs or House or all of these different like medical dramas. And nurses have kind of been in the background, right?
For sure.
Not necessarily at the forefront. And then finally, there's like this show that comes out and it's Nurse Jackie and you're like, oh my gosh, awesome.
Yeah. And she's a good nurse.
And, you know, like honestly, she was a good nurse.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know how other people felt about her, but I felt like when I watched her, I thought, oh, she was kind of the nurse I always like wanted to be.
Yeah.
You know, really strong, very confident.
Yeah. She knew her shit.
She knew her shit. It's okay.
I'm fired. I'm sorry.
You get at least one.
I get one?
Yeah. It's like PG-13.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Woo. You know, like, isn't it like when you watch like a movie and it's rated R,
so
it's like
funny.
That one F-bomb, you get one F-bomb. Yeah, like, and like, if you do more than that, then all of a sudden it's rated R.
That's right. Yeah. Because the Avengers had one F-bomb recently.
But so it can be PG-13
okay.
with one
We're
F-bomb, but you throw in more than one,
right.
Rated R.
Dang.
Oh, it's okay. It's okay. Breathe through it. You got this,
We're
man.
Rated R now? Okay. All right. I forgot what we were talking about.
Oh God.
Nurse Jackie?
Nurse Jackie.
Oh yeah, she was a total badass. Oh, and I felt like you would want her to be your nurse.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Having that portrayed in the media that's not
She was
over,
an advocate.
Yeah. And it's not over sexualized.
No.
And you're not, you know, that stereotypical blonde nurse who's wearing a sexy outfit and just super with a cap. I feel like that's what
right yeah
people see,
like the Halloween costume.
The Halloween costume. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a Halloween costume called Cardiac Arrest, and it's like a black
it's not
1910 dress, and then of course the leggings, and then a hat.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I bought it.
I swear.
There's a photo out there of me wearing it.
How come you didn't wear that today?
Should I?
Oh,
that I am wearing it.
It's underneath. He's wearing it under.
I did a Halloween episode video a long time. It was like 4 years ago. But yeah, I bought that because I thought it was funny. But that's what people think of when they think of nurse. And I'm glad that Nurse Jackie finally got it right. But that goes to show what, or not.
Wasn't
goes
it
to
the
show.
Animaniacs that were like, "Hello, nurse."
Oh, that sounds like...
I think I just dated
myself. No, I watched
but
Animaniacs.
But anyway, Animaniacs. Yeah. Hello, nurse.
Yeah, and it's very still... That's still very much the stereotype, and you can tell.
Yeah. Absolutely. There's also... There's more nurses... Well, not more nurses, but there's more series, dramas out there that are representing nurses.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go back to The Pit really quick.
Sure.
I also really love how they... depict the charge nurse.
Yeah. Oh, what was her name?
I don't remember.
I loved her character. Dana.
Dana, thank you.
Oh,
Dana.
God, she was
such
a
I'm
badass.
Glad that you have like a good memory because like
think so?
Oh yeah, you do. No, thank God. Because I'm terrible.
Yeah, Dana was such a badass.
Oh, she was so good. And there's
like
an episode. Do you remember the episode when she gets hit in the face?
Yes, yes, she got spoiler alert.
Oh, sorry.
She gets hit.
Sorry.
She gets hit in the face.
If you haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, you gotta go watch it. So she gets assaulted. And battered? Assaulted is...
I don't think that's the word.
That's not the word? Assaulted and hit?
Well, assault it's assault and battery, to, but assault. I just don't think you say battered.
Oh, man. I don't think so either. But I don't know. But she gets hit and... Yeah, she's a total
She did.
Badass.
She got battered.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they... Battered. But that... There you go. Battered.
Is that where it comes
from? Yeah, yeah.
Really?
Yes.
I have no clue.
Yeah, yeah. It's assault and battered.
Because... I thought it was... Okay.
Well, it's assault and battery, but if you're going to say that she was battered, she was, she was like in past tense, she was hit.
Light bulb moment. Okay.
Yeah.
Go on. So she was assault and battered.
Yes. And so that was, I felt like The Pit was taking the opportunity to highlight violence in the workplace.
100%.
Right. And
100%.
What we experience when we are working in the hospital and very specifically working in a trauma setting.
Yes.
Or yes.
Absolutely. And on the daily, we get exposed to violence. I remember I was in the ER, I was a nursing student, and a patient kicked me in the throat. And it was
what?
Just like, it
okay.
just gets, yeah. it gets so normalized. And then my nursing instructor was like, "Are you okay?" I'm like, "I'm fine. I just got kicked in the throat." And
you could have gotten really injured.
Yeah, right. And I didn't really know how to handle it. And then you just kind of just internalize it. And then you realize, especially when I started working in the ER, you know, you get swung at by drunk people. You get swung at by sober people. And it becomes so normalized.
And this is why I think why it's so important that they are talking about this in the media. And not when I say the media, I'm not talking about the news. Obviously, I'm talking about like dramatized media shows like what we're talking about. But that it's making the general population aware of problems that we face.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. But there's also one thing I wanted to touch on related to that. And it goes to going back to what we talked about earlier. A lot of shows are escape, right? So
yeah.
we expect it not to be real. Like Nurse Jackie, not all nurses are drug dealers, right? So it's like
drug dealers. I mean, maybe she's
not all nurses are drug takers. We're drug givers.
Yes, yes.
We give the drugs, but not everyone's drug addicts. That's what.
Yes,
thank
yes.
you for calling me out on that. But. There is a element of like, how real do we want it to be? And although The Pit is super real and anything of those can really happen at any second in real life.
Yeah.
I've seen some comments online like, "Oh, The Pit's so dramatic. None of that can really happen in real life." It's like,
are they,
what?
Is that coming from like just general like lay people?
I think.
Is that what
I think so.
Oh.
I think so. But people don't know that, that's how it actually is. Because... You know, Grey's Anatomy, how
That's
much sex is there, right? There's not that much sex in the hospitals as Grey's Anatomy.
No.
But
there's not enough time. I never understood like how they were like people were going in closets and stuff like that. I mean, I think that does happen.
For sure. Night shift.
Night shift.
Night shift. But I'm just saying.
I mean, it probably is. Yes, for sure it's happening. But not to like the level or the degree, right?
Yeah.
Like they're always going to. Dramatize it.
Yeah,
they're always going to. Yeah.
It's a show.
Yes. Yes. Of course.
But The Pit is so hyper realistic.
Yeah.
So it's like, where's the line? that's what I was asking you earlier. Like, how real do we want it to be? The pit is real. The pit is real AF, especially with the I don't want to do any spoilers, but the last, you know, the big events.
Yes.
People are like, that's so dramatic. I'm like, yeah, it can happen at any moment.
But that can happen.
Any moment.
Yes.
Hey, nurses. Are you ready to elevate your nursing career? The Wound Care Education Institute can help you reach your goals with expert training in skin and wound management, diabetic wound care, and ostomy management. WCEI offers the largest selection of wound care learning options, designed to enhance your skills, build your confidence, and prepare you for board certification exams. With flexible formats, on-demand, live online, or on-site, you can choose what fits your schedule. Thousands of nurses have trusted WCEI to take their careers to the next level. Now it's your turn. Save $100 on new certification courses with code SAVE100 at checkout. Visit WCEI.net to explore course options and start your journey today. Offer valid on new purchases only, excludes recertifications and refresher courses.
I definitely recommend that people watch it. And I think if you're not in the healthcare space and you're listening to this episode, I do think that it's important for people to understand that this is very, it is very realistic. And I think if anything, I would hope that people would have more compassion.
Yes.
For people in the healthcare space.
Yes.
And that they could understand what stuff might be like behind the scenes.
Yes, what goes on outside of that patient room.
Outside of the patient room.
Yes.
What is going on? What other things could be happening that could be delaying their care?
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And why trying to be as patient as possible.
Yes, as patient as possible. And I think outside of this, the bigger theme is you're shedding light on what the healthcare system is actually like.
Yeah.
Right. It's not the doctor's fault. It's not the patient's fault. It's not the patient's needs fault. It's not the nurse's fault. It's the system that really doesn't have the patient in its best interest. And that's why the patients are unhappy. The patients are unhealthy. The nurses are unhealthy and unhappy. The doctors that are unhealthy and happy. And then the administration just comes around yapping.
Yeah. And complaining.
Right? Yeah. Yes. It's like, that's how it is. And when the layperson can see that and just like, oh, it's not, you know, it's not my nurse, you know, it's the system that's messed up. Then they can finally see like, oh, it's this system is super effed up.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we need to see more in many different ways, whether it's through social media, whether it's through the pit. It's like, it's the system that's messing us up.
It is the system. And that's so for that reason, I think we do have to like welcome as much media as possible.
Yeah.
And hopefully they are taking the time to do all of that research and to have those consultants in the mix when they're planning out these different episodes.
Yep.
And so that was really exciting to see that displayed in that way with the pit. But I also want to say that there's definitely some other shows out there. Well, for example, we talked about Nurse Ratched.
Now,
funny thing is, neither one of us have seen it.
I've never seen Nurse Ratched. That's an actual show?
Yes. Yeah, it's an actual show.
I didn't know that.
And it's based off of a character.
Yeah.
Who came, well, okay, so I think she was originally in a book.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and then that book was made into a movie.
Yeah.
Which was One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Okay.
And that was a movie that came out in the 1970s.
In the 70s, okay.
Yes. And that's a really famous movie, and I'm so sad to say that I also have not seen
it. You haven't seen it.
And it's kind of a classic.
Is it a classic?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
We gotta watch it then.
Yeah, I know. We have to watch it.
What's it about?
Well, it's about a man. It's a man in a psychiatric hospital.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And this nurse who is depicted in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Her name is, well, they call her Nurse Ratched.
Yeah.
And she uses like medications and psychological manipulation to like control the patients. She's not a nice person.
She's a villain?
Yeah, I mean,
and then they made a show off that.
So then they did a spinoff of that character.
On Netflix, right?
I think it's on Netflix.
Oh, I don't know. Okay, they made a spinoff of her character.
Yeah, so they made a spinoff of her character, and then the spinoff is Nurse Ratched. It's called Nurse Ratched.
So it's just about her?
Yes.
Is she a good person? Oh, you don't know.
No, no, I think she's not.
She's evil.
Yeah, she's not. She's like psychologically manipulating.
Okay, so that's why when I hear people say Nurse Ratched, it's negative.
Yes, it's a negative connotation. You say, oh my gosh, the nurse that was taking care of me was like a Nurse Ratched. That is a negative connotation.
Okay.
Again, it goes back to like, we don't have a lot of like positive
portrayals.
No, we don't have a lot of positive portrayals.
Yes, we do not. I agree. We're either Nurse Ratched style or...
Hypersexualized.
Or Nurse Jackie. Yeah. We're stereotyped. We're very quickly stereotyped.
Yes.
And especially as a male in the field, it's like, oh, they're like, oh, you're a male nurse? People are like, oh, that's kind of weird. They don't say that per se, but they're like, oh. Because sometimes some people aren't.
What's the movie? Okay, what's the movie?
Meet the Parents?
Meet the Parents.
Yes. Yes, that probably...
You're a male nurse.
What I liked about that one is they were pushing against that stereotype, right?
Yes. Well, he was. Ben Stiller.
He was, yeah. But, you know, obviously Robert De Niro in that film was like very much like masculine, alpha male, and like making fun of him being a male nurse, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's...
What is he talking about? Remember when he said like... When he asked about like the nipples.
I have nipples, Greg.
That's right.
Can you milk me?
Can you milk me?
Yeah. That's one of the best lines.
That's such a good line. Yeah. Oh my God, it's so good. Yeah, so you're right. Like there's not a lot of like really good portrayals, whether you're talking about a male nurse.
Yes.
Okay. Or when it comes to female nurses, we've got somebody who is a
drug addict.
I feel like drug addict is that's probably not the correct term, right? Is it?
What? No, there's no way we're eliminating that word too. That's not politically correct anymore. Drug addict?
I feel like it's not.
What is the term?
Substance abuse disorder.
Okay.
I mean, I think I'm just going to like, I'm just going to say, because it will probably, I don't want to get called out on it. I mean, I think we're saying like, you know, if you're addicted to substances. Okay.
Substance abuse disorder.
I think it's a substance abuse
Damn,
disorder.
You're right.
You're right.
Yeah.
It's kind of like an eating disorder, right? Yeah, if you have an eating disorder.
Yeah, wow.
Because a drug addict, you're actually labeling the person as opposed to saying that they have like a disorder or that they're afflicted with something.
Okay.
Right? Like it's like a person with autism as opposed to an autistic person. Right?
I didn't know that one either.
Okay. I think we're not saying this right.
Okay.
No, it's important we have to
know these things.
Awareness.
100%.
Yeah. So I think that Nurse Jackie clearly has a substance abuse disorder.
Substance abuse disorder.
Yes. But that she was a good person.
She's 100% a good person.
Yeah. And she was somebody we would want to be like.
But yeah. So that goes to show, just because someone has a substance abuse disorder doesn't mean they're a bad person. I feel like those go hand in hand sometimes.
Yes. Of course not. Like this was something that, and again, this is a real life scenario, right?
Yeah.
Because like there are a lot of nurses and healthcare providers that lean on substances.
Yes. Legal or not legal, right?
Legal or not legal, to numb or to self-medicate.
Cope.
Or to cope.
Yes.
Okay. So it's not like, yes, it feels like a negative portrayal, but it also is a very realistic thing.
Yes. Actually, I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah. Because, you know, even though it might feel bad, it still is an actual problem.
Yeah. And The Pit actually tackled that too.
Oh, yeah, right. They did. That's right. I forgot.
That was a plot twist. Spoiler alert, but we won't
talk about
it.
Okay, we won't say who.
Yeah, we won't say who.
Okay, we're not going to say who. But yeah, they tackle the whole idea of having access.
Yes.
Right? Because that's the other thing. It would be like if you're a bartender.
Yeah.
And you have a lot of access to alcohol,
yeah.
right? It would not be so far-fetched to think that someone might
develop
A problem or a substance abuse problem.
Alcohol use disorder.
Alcohol use disorder with, if they had so much access to alcohol.
Because you're around it. Yeah.
Yeah, you're around it.
But honestly, yes, you have access. And I think doctors can get wood if, I don't know, if they can prescribe. I don't know if they can prescribe themselves. But I feel like the Pyxis or the Omnicell is so like, you know what I mean? That like...
It is, but...
It's hard to get away with it. But I know people still do it.
It's hard to get away with it, but there's times where healthcare providers have taken the drugs from the patient. So instead of giving it to the patient...
That just...
Because like if you pull out a vial from the Pyxis...
Yeah.
I mean, we're hoping that the nurse would be, or the doctor would be administering that to the patient.
Yeah.
But there have been situations where they just pull up some saline and they give saline to the patient and they take the med themselves.
Drug diversion like that literally gives me a visceral reaction, you know, because you're robbing your patient of that, whatever they need. I mean, there's so many layers there. And also... Yeah, it's just, I can't even imagine doing that.
That's why it's an illness, right? Like, that's why it's a disorder, because it clouds your judgment.
Yeah.
And that's why these people are not, they're not bad people, but they have developed such a dependence on these drugs.
These
substances that... The idea of going into withdrawal or,
losing your job
or
losing your license.
So the name of the program that a lot of nurses go through, if they do have a substance abuse disorder is Diversion, right? Isn't that the name of the program?
Diversion program?
Yeah.
I don't know. But I know.
I think it is.
In healthcare.
I think that's the name of the program.
You own up to it and you try to change. I think it's a very forgiving system.
The Board of Registered Nursing will put you through a program. Yeah. There are, like, if you get stopped for driving drunk or something like that, driving while intoxicated, you can lose your license, but I think they really try to put you through, and I could be saying this wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's called the Diversion Program.
Yeah.
We should look it up.
Let's look it up.
Do you want to look it up?
Yeah.
This is why we have the computer.
That's why we have a computer.
We put the computer here for a reason.
But I know they're very...
Fact check.
Case by case basis for sure.
Okay. Okay, JJ.
Which I appreciate.
Fact check us.
Fact check?
Yeah. What is the name of the program?
What is the name of the program?
Provided by the Board of Registered Nursing.
Provided by the BRN.
For... substance abuse.
What is the name of the program provided by the BRN for substance abuse? The answer is intervention program.
Really?
Yeah.
It's really called the intervention program? Oh, where did I get diversion?
Oh, they're right there.
Oh, no, it is called the diversion program.
Now
established the diversion program. Now intervention program. Okay, so they changed it.
Yeah, so in 1984.
Just means I've been a nurse for 18 years.
18 years?
18 years.
In 1984, state law, California, because California forever. The state law established the diversion program, now known as the intervention program, as an alternative to discipline. Oh, okay, cool.
Yes. Yeah, they don't. They really want to encourage people to get help.
Yeah.
And not hide it.
Yeah.
Not hide the problem.
Yes. I'm totally with that.
So I definitely feel like we've got some really good examples of nurses in the media. And doctors in the media. I think healthcare in the media, we have some really good examples.
Yeah.
And I don't even want to say that like the examples that we have of nurses are completely bad. I just think that when you're going to dramatize something, of course they're going to pick something that's going to be
extreme.
Extreme, yeah, yeah. It's
because at the end of the day, it's Hollywood.
Yeah, it's Hollywood, exactly. So, and it's not far-fetched. Okay.
Yeah, it's not far-fetched. It's
like, these are things that like really happen. The last one I was going to ask you about, and this is kind of like a throwback a little bit. So they did The Good Nurse. Did you ever watch The Good
Nurse?
I did
not watch. Tell me about it.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So I did an episode on this.
Uh-huh.
The very first episode of, I think, season two of Nurse Dot.
Yeah.
I think it's our season two.
When was season two?
Was it our finale or was it our first? I think it might have been our finale for season one, actually. Was I interviewed Amy Loughran, who was the actual good nurse.
Oh.
Okay. But this was the story of Charles Cullen, who was responsible for killing upwards of 400 patients.
Oh, my God.
And Netflix did a movie about it called The Good Nurse. And Amy Loughran is portrayed by Jessica Chastain.
Uh-huh.
And Charles Cullen is portrayed by Eddie Redmayne.
I didn't watch it. Okay, tell me more.
It's really good.
It sounds disturbing.
It's super disturbing.
Ugh, I'm not a fan of disturbing.
But it's disturbing because what they are highlighting, and here's what I'm glad that they highlighted, was that the healthcare systems they started to know what was happening. They started to know what this guy was doing. And instead of reporting it and getting him put away like they should have, they passed him along from one institution to another institution because they didn't want to take the liability. When they started to realize what was happening and that there were these deaths,
that's terrible,
and that they started suspecting that he was to blame for these deaths, they just let him go. And in some situations, even gave him like a positive referral to like the next hospital that he went to. All so they could just like save their own keystone.
Yeah, because that would be bad for publicity.
Well, yeah. So, and imagine if the families of those patients came back and sued the hospital for what he did.
Yeah.
And so for wrongful death. Down. Yeah. Wrongful death. Right. So it definitely highlighted. So speaking of healthcare in the media.
Yeah.
It definitely highlighted what happens in some situations and maybe to some extreme, but he probably got access to way more patients than he should ever have gotten access to because they didn't stop him earlier.
Because of a broken system.
Yeah. And actually when he got caught, so Amy Loughran, who's the real good nurse, she was friends with him. She didn't know obviously what he was doing. And when she became aware of what he was doing, she was responsible for getting him to confess to it.
Oh, she's a good nurse because she...
Well, yeah. And so she got him to... She ended up working undercover for the police department. And she actually
got... take him down.
And to take him down. And then she got him to confess to the murders. And so now he's in prison to this day.
Woo!
I know.
That's wild.
I know.
I remember, now that you mention it, I remember hearing about that back, it says here, 2022. And I remember thinking, I mean, like, here's another excuse for the public to not trust us.
I know.
I remember specifically thinking that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is scary because you think like, and more so, it's not that, yes, there could be bad people in any profession.
Any profession.
And that's, you know, obviously scary for the public to think of that, but even more of a reason why the healthcare institutions have to be responsible when they find something, when they discover something, it's awry.
I feel like also nurses are put on higher standards and higher pedestal. So when people come in, because we're talking about nurses being human and, you know, we make mistakes, DUIs, substance abuse programs, second chances. I feel like sometimes the public isn't as lenient with us. I feel like when they go into these hospitals, they expect a certain type of service and they expect a certain type of attitude. And if it falls 1 point short, they might leave us a bad review. And if they leave us a bad review, guess who's on our asses?
Yeah.
Administration, right? Because they want those good reviews.
Yep.
So I think it's kind of unfair because we're seen as, you know, we get called angels all the time, superheroes all the time. Yeah. But on the same token, when we show our humanity,
we're just human.
Yeah. I feel like we're not as given as much leeway as an angel would or as a superhero would.
Yeah.
You know? And
yeah.
I think that comes with a profession, but I don't think it's necessarily fair.
Yeah. That being treated as human. I think that's what we all want, right? Yeah. We all want to be treated as human, not superhuman.
Yeah.
And it's kind of what we've fought for a really long time. And the reason why people, like, we're seeing strikes and things like that.
And a lot of burnout.
Yeah. And a lot of burnout. So, well, I mean, this, I feel like this was really like fun and exciting.
Oh,
and
I
loved digging into like healthcare
digging.
And the media. And
Absolutely.
And I think that if anyone who's listening to this, who has, you know, your own ideas, your own comments, you can certainly come to nurse.com. You can,
yep.
You can find this episode. We always do every episode. We always do a post for
okay.
it. So, and JJ is going to be doing posts.
Some posts.
He's going to be
yes.
doing some posts as well. And so you can always come and find us and you can comment.
Yeah.
And
let us know what your favorite part was.
Yeah.
What part resonated with you most?
Absolutely.
Is there any other shows that you think we should have been talking about? What did we miss? Let us know.
I'm sure we missed a few things.
Oh,
but
yeah, there's tons of shows, yeah.
There's so much out there.
Yeah, definitely.
But this is going to be so fun. This is our first one together.
This first episode.
In our little, like, home.
Set.
Like a little set.
It's a nice
little
set.
Studio.
It's a nice set, yeah.
And I loved this. I loved being with you.
Yeah, I loved it too. I'm excited to be here. Excited for more episodes.
Five more? Hopefully there's going to be more than that.
Five more. Let us know what you want us to talk about.
Bye, everyone.
Mwah. Bye.
If you're a nurse or nursing student that enjoyed this episode, visit us at nurse.com/community, where you can find the NurseDot discussion group, a place where we dissect each episode in detail and delve deeper into today's topics. NurseDot is a Nurse.com original podcast series. Production, music, and sound editing by Dawn Lunsford. Production coordination by Rhea Wade. Additional editing by John Wells. Thank you to all the listeners for tuning in to the NurseDot podcast. Until next time, keep spreading the love and the care.